this morning, I want to use one of the most interesting of my computer. I've been with the camera for a while. This morning, I want to use one of the most famous quotes of all times from a movie as an introduction, as a springboard into our message. Make sure the camera's still running after all that. And it comes from the classic movie, the 1942 movie, Casablanca. Now, did you know that it's the most quotable movie of all time, the movie Casablanca? It's the most quotable movie of all time. And it's not just my take on it. It's just, I watched the movie and I thought, yeah, I've heard a few of those quotes before, and now I'm telling you it's the most quoted movie of all time. The American Film Institute did a recap of movies in the past 100 years, and they made a 100 movie quote list. So it's the 100 quotes that's most frequently quoted from movies in the past 100 years. And they assembled this list in 2005, so there might be one or two quotes that sneak in there since then. And it was assembled from the opinions by 1,500 filmmakers, movie critics, and historians. And on this list of the 100 most quoted lines from movies, Casablanca added 6 quotes to this list. 6 quotes. By far more than any other movie. And these are the quotes in question that are on the list, that made it onto the list of the 100 most quoted lines in movies in the past 100 years. And number 5, this is the highest one of Casablanca. Here's looking at you, kid. You probably guessed that one. Another one on the list, Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. And this is right at the end. I think this might be actually the last line when they walk away. Another one on the list. Play it, Sam. Play as time goes by. Now, this quote, I didn't really remember. So, and it's quite high up on the list. It's number 38. So, yeah, I don't know why it made it up to the list, but for some reason, people use this quote at some time. This quote I love. Also on the list, round up the usual suspects. That's after the major or captain, whatever, was shot. And then this guy said, I don't know who it was, so round up the usual suspects. Then this one is quite famous. Although it's lower down on the list, it's number 67. Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine. That's the one that's almost the most familiar to me. But if you count it, that is just 5 quotes. I left one out. Do you know which one? See, that's why I hate doing it with the camera, not with you sitting here, because then I can see people nodding, I can hear people say, oh, this is it. Now I cannot. So I will just imagine that a few of you did not, and that a few of you couldn't contain yourself, and you just shouted it out. So, what is it? I'm going to have a look at that one. But 3 of these 6 quotes came from the last scene of the movie. Round up the usual suspects, and Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. And then this one. So let's quickly watch this clip. Let's just quickly try that again. We are not getting sound through the board.
get the sound there. Let me see if I can make the plan. Let's try this. And then, if that doesn't work, then I'll just have to tell you about it. Can you turn on the pulpit mic? Apparently there was sound. So the first one that can tell me now, this time I'm tuning to the comments of YouTube, the first one that can tell me there's sound until the end of that trip gets a Kit Kat. One of the Kit Kats have gone bad. So go. The first one that can tell me if there was sound until the end. Somebody phone me and say they have sound. Let's see, getting the Kit Kat. Somebody needs to get that. Will you check the comments and tell me if there's one that's popping up? Okay, just they said before we can start. So there will be a new. Okay, so it seems like you had some good joy of life thing. We didn't get it inside the sanctuary, but there's another message. Here's the video. Okay, so there was sound. Great. So let me get back to my slides. So anyways, that was the quote. Did you get it? We'll always have parrots. One of the most memorable lines of this film is uttered when the cynical expat Rick tells his former lover, Ulfa, "We'll always have parrots." And Rick is referring to their brief romance on the eve of the Second World War. A courtship that ended abruptly when the Nazis invaded France. And when he speaks these words to Isla in the movie's final scene, Rick has accepted that he and Isla will never be reunited. There are higher causes and historical forces at play during their time, but at least they will always have this one cherished memory. So after much drama, in the closing scene, Rick ultimately plays the hero by sending his once-in-a-lifetime love, Ilva, off with her husband, Laszlo, so that he can most effectively continue his fight and this fight against the Nazis. And he does this because this is the only way for them to give us the classic line, we're only at Paris. And since then, we use the phrase, we'll always have Paris, to refer to a fond memory, or something that in all probability, we will never experience again. It was great, but it will probably not be repeated. So, oh well, better hold onto the memory then as best as we can. Because this is all we have, this memory. Now, I'll get back to that quote in a bit. But let's first turn to our scripture reading this morning, coming from Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 to 9. Now, Deuteronomy 4, verse 1 to 9 is a speech of Moses, and they are standing, camping in the Moab Valley, which is just on the opposite side of the Jordan River, across from Jericho, and they are making their way towards Jericho. They are at the end of their 40-year journey through the desert, and right there in front of them, across the river, lies the promised land. And it's the end of the desert journey. It's the end of that terrible 40 years. And Moses is reminding them about a few things. A few things about their journey through the desert. But now it's easy to think about the desert things and to quickly listen to that and to recap all the bad things. But now they don't seem that bad because right in front of them is the promised land. So now they are bound to listen to Moses because he's going to take them there. Actually, he didn't want it. He's going to take them there to the promised land. Now they'll sit and wait it out because it's fine, but they'll listen to him again. They will be patient again because here's the promised land. Promised land. Finally, we can see it. And I can imagine myself that Moses was gesturing all the time during this speech of his. When he's speaking about the promised land, he's gesturing towards the promised land. And when he's speaking about God looking after them in the desert, he's gesturing at the desert that way. And maybe a few times, he didn't do it by accident, this gesture. Maybe it was strategic. Remember how God looked after us. Remember what God promised us. Maybe like a this type of strategic. But nonetheless, we see the Moab Valley giving the speech, and we pick it up in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 4. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully. For this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Now, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. And teach them to your children and to their children after them. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Remember, and teach them to your children and to the children, their children after them. And leave this legacy to your children and their offspring. Remember and leave the legacy. Remember and teach. So what Moses saying? Don't forget what God has done. And Moses was started off speaking about God's laws and creeds, but he wasn't just speaking about God's law. He's not referring only to the law that God gave him. He says, don't forget what God has done for you as his people. Starting with freeing you from slavery. Yeah, now it's all great again. Now you're happy that you can flee from Egypt because now we are through the desert. There's the promised land. I remember how you complained while in the desert. You see the big picture now? Remember what God has done. Remember that God has freed you. This is the great act of salvation that kept Israel going until the final act of salvation came in Jesus Christ. For Jews nowadays, they are still holding on to this, still remembering this as God's act of salvation. But don't forget God's salvation, act of salvation. Don't forget God's, don't forget God's provision, looking after you. Don't forget God guiding you through this terrible desert. Don't forget what God has done. But don't just stop there. Teach it. Retell these stories. Leave the legacy of this with your children. And this is a very good thing. It is good instruction for us as well. Remember the God of the Bible. Remember the God of the Bible. Remember what He has done. Do a second thing. Pass it on. Teach it to your children. Teach it to everybody. Jesus said, "Bring it in." Then teach all the nations. So tell people about starting in front. Tell people, remember, and tell about Egypt, about God rescuing His people from slavery. Remember and tell people about the desert, about God looking after His people, providing for His people. Remember the promised land. So, and tell people about it, about this God that spoils his people with the promised land, with this land with grapes that's this big, and a land that they call the land of milk and honey. Remember and tell about the exile from the promised land later on. Remember and tell about a God who punished his people and then who decided to stop this punishment after some years. Remember and teach your kids and other people about that coming to the New Testament, that there was a Messiah. That there was a Messiah that came. Remember and teach people that we can be saved. Remember and teach people that there was a cross and there was somebody hanging on the cross. Remember and teach people that 3 days later, the same person that died on that cross, God's own Son, was alive again. Remember and teach people about the day of ascension when Jesus went to heaven to go and prepare a place for you to meet. Remember and teach about this day, the day we're actually celebrating today, the day of Pentecost. The day when God gave His Holy Spirit to live inside of each one of us, to whatever we read, whatever we hear about Jesus, to translate it into the message, the language of our heart, so that we can believe. This is a gift to believe. Remember and teach about the Acts of the Apostles, how they started the church movement across the world. It's a good thing to do, to remember and to pass. It's a great thing. So remember and pass on all the great highlights of the Bible, of God, of a God walking with His people. God, but none of the gods of the Old Testament really cared about their people. Remember and pass on the great highlights of God walking with His people. Things, more often than not. This is where we stop. With the highlights of the scripture. All the highlights you find in the Bible. That's where we stop with our remembering and fasting. So what is this? We're always at Paris Word now. And it's 11:4. My question is, if all of this, everything in the Bible, in God's revelation to us, if that is our Paris, is that our Paris? Will we only have Paris? Will we only remember what God has done in the past within these pages? Because this is where the great things happen, this is where the miracles happen, and this is where God works with these people. Will we only have Paris? Will we only remember what God has done in the past? And pass on what God has done in the past? And I mean, way past, the Bible past. You see, God's walk with His people didn't stop at the end of the New Testament. When the last book of the New Testament was written, or the last letter, and so relationship. Last in the Bible, because it's talking about things to come. But the last book written in the Bible, in the New Testament, was actually the second letter of Peter. So God's walk with His people didn't stop at the end of the New Testament. It didn't stop at the end of Second Peter. It's actually quite nice that the last verse that was written in the New Testament is 2 Peter 3, verse 18, and it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord God, or our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever." This is actually quite neat. The last verse written in the Bible says, "But grow." But grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. That's the last verse written in the Bible. But grow. So don't stop here. This is not where God's walk. This is not where God's walk with these people stops. It didn't stop there. Now, grow. So why do we tend to think that that was it? Why do people around us, maybe non-Christians, think we only have Paris? This is all we have. This is where God worked with His people and walked and journeyed with His people. Why do some of us think this? And why do people that's around us, people that's not interested in Jesus, why do they think that? I can think of two reasons, maybe two. The first reason might be that we don't see God's hand in our own lives. Or actually, we don't recognize God's hand. We don't publicly acknowledge God's hand working in our life. So we don't tell these stories about God working in and through us. We don't tell these stories about God leading us, about God blessing us, about God caring for us. So we don't recognize it and publicly acknowledge it. So that's the two reasons. We don't see it, we don't share it. There might be a third reason. There might be a third reason why people and some of us included think this is where God's involvement with us is stop. There might be a third reason. The third reason might be that God actually are not involved in our lives. The third reason might be that God actually did stop working in the lives of His people in the Bible. That He's not actively involved with us. But I cannot say that, but even if somebody's holding a gun to my head, I won't be able to concede that that is the case. I've seen way too much to know that that cannot be true. And you have seen way too much. You have experienced way too much in your own life, in the life of people around you, to know that this is the case, or that this cannot be the case. So we are just back to the first reason. The only reason why people around us, maybe non-Christians, think that God was only actively involved in the life of people was in the Bible is because we don't recognize God's hand in our daily life. We don't recognize His blessing. We don't recognize His provision. But we live with it. We don't see it. And then we don't acknowledge it publicly. We don't share it. So we don't get to have the remembering because we didn't recognize it. And then we are not doing things like that. So the first thing we have to do if we don't want to be stuck in Casablanca, if we don't want to only have Paris forever, is that we have to see, we have to look for God's hand in our life. We have to look for God's hand in our own personal histories, in our own lives, and now, in this time. How did you get through 12 weeks of what we are living in now? Ask yourself a question, honestly. How did you get through this? So the first thing is, we should start looking for God's hand in our lives. And when you actively start doing that, when you tune yourself into that, when you ask God's Spirit to show to you where He was actively involved in your life, you'll go, wow, I didn't realize. I just thought it was luck. I just thought it was myself doing good. You need to be attuned to this. And then do the second thing Moses said. Then we need to start sharing this. We need to repeat these stories of God's hand in our life, of God being actively involved in our daily, everyday life. We need to be speaking about that. So when Moses says, don't forget what God has done, he's speaking to the people to whom God has just done a lot of things. When we are reading what Moses is saying, when we are reading Deuteronomy 4 now, it includes all of the Germans called it Heilsgeschichte, the salvational history of God's people up till today. So if Moses was standing in front of us today, he would say, don't forget what God has done until now, until May 31st, 2020. It's not confined to the desert journey. It's not confined to the Bible. To remember all of that, recognize all of that, and then acknowledge it publicly, teach people, tell people about God's involvement. For by all means, start with this. By all means, start with this. This is the most important one. Because this spans generations. Ours, all of us, our lives is just one individual. But then go and teach this. Go and tell people about it. So don't get stuck in Casablanca. Don't be that person that says, oh well, at least we'll always have Paris. Thankfully, we have the Bible and we can be reminded how God worked past things with and through people of those times. And maybe looking at them will give us some hope now. Don't be that person that makes other people think that they only ever was Paris. They only ever was Paris. I'm glad we have a Bible. And as I said, start with this. So thankfully we do have our Bible. And we can be reminded of how God worked with these people, with and through his people in all of these times, spanning thousands of years. Thankfully, we do have our Bibles. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. He is still actively involved in our lives. So go and look for God's hand in your life. And go and share this. Go and share this with the great truth of Scripture. But add your story to this. Add your story to this. Because your history is also a salvation history. It's also part of God's work with his people.
And it doesn't have to be the biggest thing ever. Like, you know, I lost both my legs, and a miracle happened, both grew back. Praise God. It doesn't have to be all these extravagances. Because not all people go through these extravagances. It can be the little things, the small things, the daily provisions, the daily blessings, the daily hand of God in your life. That's the everyday personal street. That experience that they must share. You probably know by now my vacuum door to door salesman example. When a door to door salesman comes to you and trying to sell your vacuum cleaner, you're not going to listen to now. You're going to try and get him away from your door within the first 30 seconds. If one of your friends come to you and randomly tell you, you know what, I bought one of those vacuum cleaners. It's the best thing ever. It cleans everything. It cleans everything. When my old vacuum cleaner broke, the one that was supposedly very good, you know what? This vacuum cleaner picked up all the parts of this broken vacuum cleaner. It's that good. So give it a try. Sometimes we omit that give it a try. We just tell them how good it is. What do people then do? I'm going to get one of these. Pretty crazy. Why? Because the door-to-door salesman gets paid if he sells you one. This person doesn't have a horse in the race. He's just telling you how it is. Like, this thing just added value to my life. Use it, don't use it. Oh, I'll use it. I'm going to give you one. Same with sharing our stories. It's like this door-to-door salesman. And something that actually has to come in. Tell people about God. How God is actively involved in your life every day. The small things. Because it's in those small things, or all of those small things start to add up. And then we start to see the value, and then other people start to see the value, and they'll go, man, you know what? I want that. Tell people about God's involvement in your life. Don't get stuck in Casablanca. Don't make people think that we only have Paris. Don't you dare think that there only was Paris. And that it only comes to one. If the things happening in here, or that happened in here, can't be repeated. Don't get stuck in Casablanca. Don't make other people think that we only have Paris. And don't you dare think